Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. From the start it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart, so Yahweh got my mind, Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself, Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory, Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior, and I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the holy scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahuwah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he said somebody that could get killed? What you talking? Yahweh died, man. Come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied, man? You frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spittin' disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. My name is Moray Ishaya Israel of the house of Israel, bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All you're going to get is the truth. But for some strange reason, if I'm saying something that you disagree with, that seems suspicious to you, give me a call and we will discuss it. 919-931-6216. Again, let me say, shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet, and also my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of Blog Talk. Truly, there is no doubt in my mind that the only reason that you are listening, it is because of your fear towards Elohim. So I praise the mighty Yah for your presence. We have another beautiful program before you. And, of course, there's a lot of things that's happening. In the earth, a lot of things going on in the financial, as well as the political. And various things going on with the various nations that are round about. Pressing thing right now is, of course, one of the tricks that have been played on our people, a very grievous trick. And this trick is what our enemies will be celebrating, and many of our people who will be celebrating with them, is fake New Year's. We're going to deal with this fake New Year's. It's important to deal with because, believe it or not, our people are still caught up in the folly of the calendars of the nation. Even though many of our people don't recognize they are, well, I'll show you tonight that they really are. But let me first start off by showing you what the Creator said will happen in the last days. And you'll read this in the book of Daniel, Daniel the 7th chapter. And let us turn to it. There's a lot of things about Daniel people don't know, and we're going to start sharing with you the very life of the various prophets in the scriptures. And then, because if you understand how ordained them to do the various jobs that they were to do, then maybe you can understand why they prophesy and why the Creator used them to prophesy the things that he chose them to talk about at the time that he told them to talk about it. So, for instance, in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 23rd verse. And this is what it says. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And what we're going to do is reveal to you who these kings are, so you can understand what this is really talking about. But right now, we're going to show you what these kings did. And in the 25th verse, it lets you know exactly what they did, part of what they did. And it says this, and he, speaking of this little horn that came out of these 10 kings, well, that came out of the 3 kings that was left. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. These great words are called pompous things, things that let you know that this particular king is so different than all the other kings, because this king gonna speak against the Most High. And in doing so, he's gonna wear out the saints of the Most High. And he's going to think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So whoever this king is, throughout the various centuries and ages, laws and times are changed. And it's going to be given into his hand for a certain amount of time. Here we sit today as witnesses that this prophecy undoubtedly have been fulfilled and still present. Present because we have many of our people, because who cares what the other nations do? We don't care what other nations do, but we don't have no choice to care what Israel do. For we are a nation of people. And here it is, as Israelites, you have many Israelites, the mass majority of the Israelites, who don't know who they are. They will be celebrating the new year of our enemy. And when is this new year? Well, this new year is in the middle of winter, when there is nothing new. And not only is it in the middle of winter when there's nothing new, there's nothing to celebrate, there's nothing that you can show to say, hey, this is new, where everything is dead. Also, we'll be celebrating this in the middle of the night, where even if there was something new, you couldn't even see it. And this is totally contrary to the word of the Most High. Now, that's many of our people who don't know. Then we got Israelites that know they are Israel, and they still don't know. In other words, even though many Israelites who know they're Israel, they still use the various times and calendars of our enemies. It is, we have Israelites who go around saying Shabbat Shalom when it turned night. Well, at night is not the time that we greet our brothers and sisters with a greeting of peace. That's the time when you're at home, in the bed, saying Laila Tov. or good night. But this is when our people send their salutations out in the night, when you're not even seeing anyone. And so times and laws have undoubtedly been changed greatly. And just like the heathens, our people will go around saying Happy New Year at night. Well, what can you see at night? Even if you go by the Aviv, you don't go out at night and look for it. So times have surely been changed. Furthermore, the Creator lets us know in the book of Jeremiah. Now, I'm not teaching this to insult anyone, to put down anyone who believes what they believe. But as I said in the beginning of my program, all I teach is the truth. Look what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. In the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, this is what it, in the first two verses. Hear ye the word of Yah. Hear ye the word which Yah speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yah, learn not the way of the heathen. The heathen are other nations. The heathen are other people that don't know Yah. The heathen are people who the Almighty did not give his laws, commandments, and statutes and judgment to. These are who we call heathens. And then the Creator lets us know, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Why? Why shouldn't you be dismayed at the signs of heaven, as many of our people are? Well, it tells you why. For the heathen are dismayed at them. In other words, he just got finished telling you, don't learn their ways. Then he tells you, don't be dismayed at the signs of heaven. Why? Because the heathens, that's what they do. They go around spending a bunch of money and on telescopes and binoculars and so they can see outer space, and so they can see things that to determine when they days and years and, well, if you look in the daytime, you won't have to worry about looking at night. For the night was not given to you for days. And so our people are dismayed. So when is our new year? The Creator told us our new year, the beginning of our month, is a month that the Creator named himself. There's no other people, there's no other nations, not the Canaanites, not the Egyptians, not the Assyrians, not the Babylonians, no other nation had this name that the Creator gave us for our first month. If it had been, then we will see other people observing this month. And I may add, the Jewish people who call themselves observing this month have no clue about this month at all. This month is called the month of Abib. You read it about it in the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter. That's the first place where the Creator talked about this first month. And I know people say, well, no, it was mentioned in Exodus, the 9th chapter. But it was not mentioned in Exodus, the 9th chapter, as a month. The first time it had been mentioned as a month is in the book of Exodus 13. And let us read that. And not only is going to let you know the first time it's mentioned as a month, but it's going to mention the reason why we were to observe it. And this is what it says in Exodus 13. And we'll start at the third verse. And Moshe said unto the, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, Yah brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Then it lets you know exactly when you came out. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. This is what the Creator called the month that we came out of Egypt. This is the only month that the Creator gave a name to. And he told you exactly why to observe it. Because this is the month that we came out of Egypt. Of course, this is not why our people observe it. Our people have turned this month into a month like the heathens. In other words, a month where you can bring in a new year and so forth and so on. And Almighty never even said that. He said, observe this month because this is the month that we came out of Egypt. Not only did he say it there, go to the book of Exodus, the 20th, and why is this important? Because if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, then how could you possibly know if you are doing something that is correct? And you don't even know why you're doing it. In the book of Exodus 23, let us see what it says. Abib. Mind you, what are we talking about? We're talking about our new year versus the new year of the heathen. They celebrate their new year at night. Happy New Year. When you can't see nothing change over. And when do you think our people celebrate their new year? Well, at night. And what do you see? Do you see the Abib at night? No. Do you see anything change over at night? No. You do not. As a matter of fact, our people weren't even out at night. Our people were in at night. They were not sending salutations at night, saying shalom and all this. Now, they might have sent salutations to their children, saying Lila told. Look what it says. Exodus 23. And I'm going to start reading at the 14th verse. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. And it's going to tell you why to keep you keep the feast of unleavened bread. And when is the feast of unleavened bread? The feast of unleavened bread is in the middle of the first month. And watch what it says. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. So the only time the Creator mentions the month of Abib is in connection with time that we came out of Egypt. He mentioned it in Exodus, the 13th chapter, when we came out of Egypt. He mentions it in Exodus 23rd chapter, when we came out of Egypt. And then he furthermore mentioned it in a book of Exodus 34th chapter. And let's see if he tell us to do what our brothers and sisters are doing today. And let me tell you what they're doing, because I used to do it too. So I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just telling the truth. Because I did these things also. What our brothers and sisters are doing today, they going on the World Wide Web and waiting for their enemies to tell them when the Abib is. And we just read, follow not the ways of the heathens. We just read, think to change time and laws. So why are we following them? And then if you're not going by the World Wide Web, as most of our people are doing, you might have some of our people who travel all the way to Jerusalem to certain locations to see if they will see the Abib. Now, is this what we're supposed to do? No. Neither of these things are we supposed to do. You mean to tell me that we can't know the new year everywhere we are? Well, in truth, we can. And you'll see. In the book of Exodus 34, let's see what the Creator says here. And we find in the book of Exodus 34, starting at verse 18, watch what it says. The feast of unleavened bread thou shalt keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. The only relevance that Abib have, the only reason it is mentioned, the only reason it's the only month that has a name, is because what the Almighty did for us in Egypt. And that's when we received our freedom. So the Creator told us to observe this month. And you might ask yourself, well, how did we know what were the signs to let us know this month? And we're going to get into that. And another place that I want you to take notice concerning this month of Abib, when our new year began, and the name is indicative of when we came out of Egypt. Look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy 16, this is what it says, starting at the first verse. As a matter of fact, it leads off telling you what to do, and while you do what you're supposed to do. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahda Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahda Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. So the Creator told us to observe this month. And what do the word observe mean? Does it mean we were supposed to hunt it down and look for it and to plant it, harvest it? Is that what the Creator said? Is that what he was looking for us to do? Well, the first time we even got the name of this month was in Egypt, where we had no crops and plants to even plant this for ourselves. All 430 years, we were living by the customs and the ways of the Egyptians. But undoubtedly, the Egyptians was not keeping this month because the Creator never gave it to them. Matter of fact, he never gave it to any other nation at all. But then the Creator told us to observe it because this is the month that we came out of Egypt. And this is what we are. So how can you observe the Abib at night anyway? Well, in truth, whether it's day or whether it's night, the only one that controls the Abib is the Most High. And the Abib, whether it's here, whether it grows or not, do you realize that there's always and forever will be a first month? That's why when the Creator talked about the Abib, he only talked about it in connection with us coming out of Egypt. But when the Creator talked about our new year, he never even mentioned the Abib. If you look in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, look what the Creator said. In the book of Exodus 12, this is what it says in the very first two verses. And Yah spake unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What month is that? Surely, whatever this month was, they knew that this month that the Creator was speaking of, and then he told them what to do during that month. and you won't even see the word Abi mentioned until the Almighty began to give other instructions concerning our departure from Egypt. And why? Well, you're going to see why. Just show you a couple things for you to consider. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, I want you to look at this. And I want you to consider something. And this is something that I asked my beloved teachers when I talked to them about these things, ask them to consider. And I want you to consider. This is what it says in Genesis, the 12th chapter. It happened during the time of Abram. And this is what it says. Starting at the 9th verse. Of course, in this chapter is when Abram was separated from his family. And this is what it says in the 9th verse. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. In other words, there was a famine. And if you don't know what a famine is, a famine is when there is nothing in the land. No crops, no herbs. It's a famine. Surely, if it wasn't a famine, they had any type of crops, any type of herbs, any type of thing, they would undoubtedly not move away because they would have something to sustain themselves. But during the time of Abram, there was a famine in a land that took him to another land where there was no famine. And, of course, that took him down into Egypt. And not just Abram. Go to the book of Genesis 26. In the book of Genesis 26, and 1, this is what it says. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, so you won't get them confused and think this might be the same famine. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And why did he go there? Well, there was a famine in the land where he was. And that took him out of the land. But if there is a famine, then how would one know their new year? If there's no Abib, how would they know? What is the sign to let you know when the new year starts, when there is no crops during the time of spring? Also, in the book of Genesis 41, that was Abram, that was Isaac. Now, what happened during the time of yourself? And this is what it says in Genesis 41. And we're going to start reading. At the 25th verse. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. And Elohim have shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good times are 7 years. And the seven good years are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. So in other words, during the time of this famine, how did yourself and how did the people know their years? When we are to travel to Jerusalem to see that beat, does the Abib grow during a time of famine? Surely if it does, then it wouldn't be no problem. Because you got some growth during famine. But during famine, not only things don't grow during a time of famine, it will make you pack up all your stuff as it did our fathers, and leave. Because you don't know how long it's going to be. And this is what our fathers did. In the case of yourself, because the Almighty gave them 7 years of plenty. And so, and he forewarned them and gave them an opportunity to store up and stock up and get ready for the 7 years of famine. But typically, it does not happen that way. But Joseph was in, he was in Egypt. But look what happened. Look what transpired as a result of the famine. Because not only was it in Egypt, look what happened in Genesis 42. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I've heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down there and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob said not with his brother, for he said, let's peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. In other words, it was in their homeland. And so they had to go to another land to buy corn. But then, look what Joseph told his brother in the book of Genesis 45. In other words, they was finding out that it was a famine in Egypt too. It was just Egypt stored up because they was forewarned. And they was able to sell to other people. But the famine was everywhere. And it says in Genesis 45, and this is what Joseph told his brother in the fourth verse. Let's start at the fourth verse. And Joseph said unto his brother, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am yourself, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourself that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. In other words, you're not going to be able to plant nothing, and you're not going to be able to harvest nothing. In other words, you're not going to be able to sow anything, and you're not going to reap anything. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, master of all this house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hashi, go up to my father and say unto him, thus said thy son yourself, Elohim has made me master of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. In other words, this is how devastating a famine is. So how then did our people know when the new year was, when there was a famine in the land? Surely there had to be another way. Because this famine was not something that was unusual. This happened almost during all the lives of our fathers, except those the Creator had undoubtedly blessed. For a famine is one of the curses that the Creator will put in the earth against people, nations, even Israel. Time of Ruth, there was a famine. Matter of fact, her story starts off talking about a famine that took them into the land of the Moabites. And it is there where Ruth and her mother-in-law lived. Let us see. In the book of Ruth, the very first chapter, and this is what it says in the first verse. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man, Bethlehem Yehuda, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. the Ephratites of Bethlehem, Yehuda, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. In other words, they remained there. But why? There was a famine in the land. And this is what a famine will do. It will literally cause you to pack up and leave. But look what the Creator did to our people when they came out of Egypt. They did not experience a famine. Look what our people experienced before I go to our callers. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, starting at the first verse. This is what it says, Deuteronomy 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall be observed to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which Yah swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which Yah the Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. 40 years in the wilderness. And they tricked our people and put the word wilderness. But no, our people wasn't in no wilderness where there was trees and plants. And when you got trees and plants and things like that, then you're going to have other food that can feed all those plants and trees. No, the wilderness that our people were in is really called a desert, where there are no trees. There are no plants. Maybe a cactus. But they didn't have this type of stuff for 40 years. And this is what it says in the third verse. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah do man live. In other words, we was in a desert for 40 years. If you want to know what type of place we were living in for 40 years, the Almighty described place that we were living in. He describes it in the same chapter. And watch what the Creator said about this desert or wilderness, as they translate it. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, this is what it says in the 15th verse. He said, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee for water out of the rock of flint. Why do you think we had to get water out of a rock? Because there was no water. There was no whales. One time the Almighty had 12 whales just appear with 12 trees. You don't find that type of stuff in deserts. That's how the Almighty blessed our people. Because he wanted them to understand, he wanted them to know that man don't live by bread only. 16th verse. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna? What you think our people ate for 40 years? That's what they ate. Manna. which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. So we were in a place for 40 years with no Abib. So how did we know our new year? Since we going on the World Wide Web, going by our enemies to determine our new year, since we are traveling all the way to Jerusalem to find out what our new year is, so how did we know it then, during a time of famine, during the 40 years that our people were in the wilderness? Surely we had to know, because we even kept time during the time we were in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, when we came out of Egypt, that's when we start keeping time. That's when we start multiplying our years. And today, what our people are doing today, following other people. These things that our people are doing is not in the scriptures at all. And what we must do as a people, this is why the Creator tells us, and then I'm going to go to our brothers and sisters. This is why the Most High tell us in the book one place is in the book of Jeremiah. I think it's going to be the 51st chapter, Jeremiah 51. And this is not the only place it is letting you know this. And this is what it says, Jeremiah 51, verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of Yah's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon have been a golden cup in Yah's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. In other words, deranged. They're backwards. Calling the night day. Celebrating things that you can't even see in the night. They have become mad, and we have followed them. I'm just asking that you can take under consideration. Now, you can dismiss them, call me crazy, but still consider it. That's all. Just consider it, study it, check it out for yourself. But if you're sincere, I can assure you, you would agree with me. And if you would like to comment on anything that we're talking about, anything that I'm saying, give me a call, 347, and press the number 1 on your phone. Going right to one of our callers. This is my beloved elder. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, 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 Murray.
How you doing, Elder Ephraim?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have two observations. Praise Yah. I have two observations. The first one, you mentioned that how do we know the month of Abib when we didn't, back in those days, we didn't have barley and whatever it was. But Moses told us that this is the first day, will be the first month to you, and always be associated with your coming out of Egypt. So then we know how to count months to time, right? And because we had signs, season, we had signs, season, days, and years. So we went by those. So every time that month came up, we knew that that was the beginning of months. My second observation.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Go ahead, Elder.
Okay. And my second observation is when we went into Egypt, we went down there with 17 souls. I mean, yeah, 70 souls. And that was the beginning of Yah's fulfillment of his promise to Abraham that his seed shall be as the stars in heaven. So it means that we went down with 70. We came out of there with 600,000 men strong, a multitude over millions. So that was the fulfillment of that prophecy. That's my belief. So we came out.
You're absolutely correct. That was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Who could even imagine 70 souls turning into millions? Who can imagine that? And we know it was millions because just the men alone, all they did was number the adults. And of the adults that they numbered were the men. So they didn't even count the children, nor did they count the women. And, and just the men alone, just like you're saying, we had numbers that was well over 600,000 people just in the adult men. When they got into the wilderness and they started numbering each tribe had hundreds of thousands of people in each tribe, let alone in one particular tribe. So what Abraham received was it was like the stars of heaven. It was unnumberable. You couldn't count the many people that came from his seed. So you're absolutely correct. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. I just wanted to, I often thought about that, and I knew that's what the Most High was doing, and that's the thing when we talk about the birth of a nation. It wasn't this movie that we talk about nowadays. That was the birth of a nation.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and it was so devastating to the Egyptians. The only plan that they could devise, because of the fear of this birth of the nation, is, man, we got to kill these people. Man, we got to destroy these little babies that's coming up. Man, they just multiplying so greatly. Next thing you know, they're going to run us out of this land. And so they had to come up with a plan because they had never seen that before.
Because even today, I don't think we realize what the significance of that trip into, or that famine in the Canaan that caused us to leave there.
Right.
We don't really realize the significance of that and what happened. And then when our brother Yosef got sold to those people and what he was planted there by the Most High so that he could save the nation.
That's right.
By
a great deliverance.
Yes. That was a miracle. That's right. You know, that's not spoken of much. Right, in our teachings, I don't get to hear those stories there about that, but if you put two and two together, you can see it, you know. And
you're absolutely correct. The Almighty said he does these things for his glory, and that's what Yosef was letting his brothers know. He said, you might have had ill intent in doing what you did, but the Almighty, he was doing this to save lives. And so oftentimes we look at things, the way we look at things, we look at it as bad, but the Almighty, when he started looking at it, he's looking at it to save lives and to do some good. It's just like when our people was in the wilderness for 40 years with fiery serpents and drought and nothing, no food, no nothing. In other words, they couldn't plant anything, because even if they did, it wouldn't grow, because they're in a desert. They had no water. They had no fertilizer. They had no trees that could have roots and so forth and so on. And the Almighty wanted us in that state of condition so that we can understand and so that we can know that the power lies with him, not with us, but with him. So that when we go into this land, and let me read this to you, Elder Y, got you on the line, in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. The Almighty took us from a desert, right, where there was absolutely nothing, nothing to feed on, nothing to drink, nothing at all. And then this is what the Creator did so we can understand that he is our power. So this is what he said in the 7th verse, Deuteronomy 8. It says, for Yada Elohim bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. So the Almighty gave us the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And this is after taking us out of this dreadful and terrible desert or wilderness. So, and he was just letting us know, look, this is the worst of the worst. Now I'm giving you the best of the best. But don't forget who gave you this. Don't forget who did this for you, because you've seen the worst, and you don't want to go back to that.
That's right.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise somebody,
and I want to, we don't need these other calendars. We don't need to celebrate these other New Year's, because they're not New Year's anyway. In the winter? What's new in the middle of the night? There's nothing new in the middle of the night. You can't even see if it is new.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what our people have to learn. So I just want to share that, my beloved elder.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
That's what the Most High said. You want to know the beginning? You know the beginning from the end.
That's it. That's it.
We're going to go back to that.
All right,
we're going to go back to that. Sir, thank you. Shalom, shalom.
All righty. Shalom, shalom. And I may add, we're gonna deal with this also, because a lot of people ask me questions about this, and there's a lot of diverse teachings on this. But look what this says, and look what it says in the book of Ezekiel. Turn there with me, the book of Ezekiel. And I think it's going to be in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, but let me see, just to make sure, in the book of Ezekiel. Let's see. Yeah, so the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, and we're reading verse 33. And look what this says. As I live, says Yahweh, surely, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. Now, first of all, a lot of people tell you we're in the wilderness today. Well, how are we in the wilderness today when the Creator said he was going to bring us out from the people and gather us out of the countries wherein we are scattered? And with a mighty hand, and with stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And watch what the Creator says in the 35th verse. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, says Yah Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country wherein they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yah. So in other words, when our people are delivered out of the countries wherein we are scattered this day, there's going to be a bunch of rebels, idolaters, a bunch of mischievous, prideful, haughty, arrogant people that come out with us. But then when Yah have us all to himself, and he gonna purge out the rebels, as he did in the days of old. But a lot of our teachers to this day teach that we already in the wilderness. The Almighty already purging out the rebels, and we had been taken out of the country. Go figure. Again, give me a call. 347-838-8963 and press the number 1 on your phone. What are we discussing? What are we talking about this night? We're talking about our inability or ability, whatever, whichever one you believe. To separate ourselves from the customs, the ways of our enemies. The Creator told us, follow not the ways of the heathen. For the heathens are dismayed at the signs of heaven. And if so, then why are we following their customs that they do at night? And since they do it, we do it. Their days start at night, which don't make no kind of sense. So our days start at night. They start their year in the night. So our year got to start in the night. Start their months in the night. So our months got to start in the night. And they start their day in the night. So guess when our day starts? In the night. All on the ways of the heathen. Or not? Look what the Creator said in the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. Let us turn there. Jeremiah Jeremiah, the 8th chapter? In the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, this is what it says. And I'll start at the first verse. At that time, says Yah, they shall bring out the bones of the king of Yehudah and the bones of his princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And why? Because these are all the people that called the shots. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. So this is what our people doing, and they don't even realize they're doing this. The Almighty said, man don't live by bread only. He said, man is supposed to go by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah. If you want to know how many months in a year and how many days in a month, and if you want to know when the year began, you got to go by the word of Yah. You don't go by no sun and moon and star. You go by the Creator's word. And that will teach you the relevance that the sun and the moon and the stars in relationship to his word. And our people are following things that they don't understand. And we're going to get more into that, but furthermore, in the third verse, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which will remain in all the places whither I have driven them, says Yah of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus says Yah, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearken and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushed into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. The turtle, the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Yah. And this is a great abomination that we don't know the judgment of Yah. And as a result of not knowing Yah's judgment, we don't know time. We don't respect time. Time, they will look at the dates in the scriptures, and these dates will be very relevant to them. These dates are not relevant to our people. Our people don't study the various dates in the scriptures to see how these dates not only were relevant during the time of our people and the ancients, how they relevant today. We look at these dates in the scriptures and think that these dates are somehow some invisible, blind author or some commentary that was added to the scriptures, not realizing that this is part of the original script. And these dates are relevant to the laws the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of the Most High. So my people, our people, Yah's people, let us not continue to follow the ways of our enemies. Look what the Creator said about our enemies in the book of Proverbs. Just show you this in the book of Proverbs. I think it's going to be around the third chapter. Yeah, look what it says. Proverbs 3, verse 31. And this is what it says. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. We have people that call themselves the Assembly of Yahweh. They have deceived this Caucasian organization, has deceived many people with their literature on the Abib. Caucasian group in Jerusalem call themselves the Kairites, deceiving many of our people. These are not people that was given the laws and the commandments and the statutes and judgments of the Most High. So why are we following these people? And these people introduced to our people a 13-month that don't even exist in the scriptures, a 29-day month that don't even exist in the scriptures at all. You can't find it not one place. You have the Abib coming 1 year after 12 months. Then you got the Abib another year coming after 13 months. Where is that at in the scriptures? Well, it is not. We go to one of our other elders. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, beautiful brother. Subject you're bringing up tonight is very, very great. I like Ephraim's questioning. And so what you're saying, according to the famine, according to the wilderness, the famine of 40 years, our people didn't know when the deed was, unless Yah had let them know. And in the time they came out of Egypt, and Yah had set the Abib, if the Abib is not happening according to Yah's blessings today, are we as his people supposed to go according to a relevant or a specific time, or season, or temperature, so that we can be in to the Abib, to Yah, that certain knowledge?
I barely can hear you, Elder, some of what you said, but the Abib was the time, was the month that we came out of Eden. But it was not something that the Almighty told us to observe to determine our years. It was just the name of the first month. But
right.
You didn't determine the first month by it. Because if
okay.
that was the case, then we would have never been able to determine our first month, 40 years in the wilderness.
Okay.
7 years during a famine.
Okay.
In the years of famine during the time of Abraham and Isaac and Ruth. But we still knew how to determine our years, whether it was a famine, a drought, or even in a desert. And once you know that, then you will know in the month of Abib, which is always the first month, that we were to celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we did that in the wilderness.
Right. So
at least twice. And we're gonna go more in depth into it, but I just wanted to show our people that they don't have to follow the ways of our enemies by declaring things at night.
That's right.
In the winter. And in the middle of the night, or at evening, when the night is beginning to rule, and the stars and the moon start coming out, that's not the time you start declaring something new. But this is what our people been taught.
Now, when it comes to a bee, where we are in captivity today, of course, we know that Yah gave us his count of months and days in his scriptures, so that we know that a month is 30 days. So from trying to capture this first month, we're doing it basically by what Yah gave us as a count. A month, 12 months, like to bring us out of the crooked places into the straight places.
And I apologize to you, Elder, because I got my ear all the way up to the phone, and I'm not hearing you clearly.
Okay.
I can just hear you some of the way, but I can't hear everything that you're saying. So I don't know why your phone coming in low.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay. Today, how do we do the Abib, knowing that it was always Yah that let us know before?
Well, we do the Abib the same way our fathers did the Abib. Today, we believe that our fathers went and looked for some type of crop called the Abib to determine their new year, and this is nowhere in scriptures. Our people, as I read in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first verse, it says, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you." The
right.
First thing is we got to know what that month is. And secondly, we have to know when that month began. If we don't
right.
know those facts, then we'll never know when the Abib is. Because if it's a famine, you're not going to know. And it might as well be a famine because our people still don't know.
Right.
Our people, when they go to Jerusalem or look on the internet to look at this crop, they don't realize that this crop only grows in the springtime anyway.
Okay.
It's only going to grow when a year begins anyway. So you got to know when that first month is because that's when it's going to grow. Now, is it going to grow on a certain day to determine your beginning? No, the scriptures don't say nothing. As a matter of fact, it just says observe the month because this is the month that you came out of Egypt. You still have
right.
to know the origin of when this month actually begins. If you don't know that, then you don't even know the first month, period. You just know the name of it, but you don't know how it began. And we're going to get into details on how it begins. What
right.
are you to look for? And how are you to count it? And the way our people are doing it today is straight out of the book of the heathens.
Hallelujah. So the best thing we can do right now for those of us to know that Yah gave witnesses to what he calls a month is to count each month for 30 days according to him showing us what a day is and do the best we can according to when the bee will begin so we can do the Passover.
Well, you're absolutely right, and you don't have to do the best you can. We can do exactly what the Almighty told us to do because
okay.
if you know the first month, you will know when the Abib. In America, our people ain't looking at no Abib, but it's still
no.
that same month. It's still that same month because the Abib will only come during the springtime. It's not going to come
right.
no other time. Even in
all
a
right.
famine, it's still the first month. It's still the month Abib because that's what the Almighty named the first month. Whether
right.
you see Abib
so,
or not. And we're
right.
going to go into details about that.
Right. Very good ending answer. I appreciate that from Yah's inspiring you with the truth and nothing but the truth.
Well, praise the mighty Yah. I just want everybody to consider it. I appreciate your comments as well as questions. And I pray to the mighty Yah that everyone will take my scriptures that I showed under consideration, and we're not finished discussing this issue, this matter, concerning the Abib and our new year. So I love you, Elder, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on a beautiful Shabbat.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. And to all the other brothers and sisters that's listening in, Yah love you. And so do I. Shalom.